Welcome back to Listen to Your Heart. I'm Jerry.
And I'm Jerry's Heart.
Today's topic, Repatha, Evolokimab. Heart, why'd you pick this one?
Well, Jerry, for people who have had a heart attack, like us, diet and exercise might not be enough to lower the risk of another one.
Okay.
To help know if we're at risk, we should be getting our LDL-C, our bad cholesterol, checked, and talking to our doctor.
I'm listening.
And if it's still too high, Repatha can be added to a statin to lower our LDL-C and our heart attack risk.
Guess it's time to ask about Repatha.
Do not take Repatha if you're allergic to it. Serious allergic reactions can occur. Get medical help right away if you have trouble breathing or swallowing, swelling of the face, lips, tongue, throat, or arms. Common side effects include runny nose, sore throat, common cold symptoms, flu or flu-like symptoms, back pain, high blood sugar, and redness, pain, or bruising at the injection site.
Listen to your heart.
Ask your doctor about Repatha. Learn more at Repatha.com or call 1-844-REPATHA.
Hi, I'm Cyndi Lauper. My scalp was covered with psoriasis, which could lead to psoriatic arthritis. But Cosentyx treats both.
Cosentyx secukinumab is prescribed for adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis 300 mg dose and adults with active psoriatic arthritis 150 mg dose. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for tuberculosis. An increased risk of infections and lowered ability to fight them may occur, like tuberculosis or other serious bacterial, fungal, or viral infections. Some are fatal. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if inflammatory bowel disease symptoms develop or worsen. Serious allergic reactions and severe eczema-like skin reactions may occur. Learn more at Cosentyx.com or 1-844-COSENTYX.
Cosentyx works for me.
Ask your doctor about Cosentyx.
The Pat Kenny Show.
With Matter Private Network.
On News Talk.
Now here's a study to make all of us who cycle bikes pause a little bit. It found that male cyclists should stand up from their bike seats and elevate themselves and their bodies every 10 minutes as it could prevent injury or long-term side effects on their ability to have sex or to father children. For more on this, we're joined by Dr. John Waterstone of the Waterstone Clinic. John, what do you make of this Polish survey suggesting there may be a difficulty for men who cycle bikes for long periods of time?
Hi, Shane. At first, I was a little skeptical, you know, as to how big the problem was in the first place. The actual study, it wasn't that they did any new research. This was a study in Sports Medicine, which is a publication. But it drew attention to, and it was what they call a meta-analysis. It didn't do any new research. It looked back at stuff which had been published already. So I started looking back at the same stuff when I saw this. And it's particularly pertinent for me because I'm a middle-aged guy and I just took my 20-year-old steel frame bicycle out of my garage where it's been sitting for 20 years and it's been, at the moment, upcycled. And so I started worrying for myself. Can I do myself some injury here? If there is a negative impact, the study title was Strategies for Reducing the Impact of Cycling on the Perineum in Healthy Males. So the perineum is that bit of your anatomy, male anatomy, between, you know, the back of your testicles, scrotum, and the back passage, and the nerves and the blood supply, the vessels supplying the penis, runs through that area. So it is certainly possible that pressure on that area could do damage. And the damage they're talking about is guys ending up with erectile dysfunction, you know, finding it hard or impossible to have an erection, which obviously makes sex unsatisfactory or impossible. And if you're trying to father a child, it's a distinct disadvantage. I was a bit skeptical of that because, like, I've been practicing reproductive medicine, you know, trying to help couples trying to have a baby for whatever, 25 years, and I can't remember a single guy who came in and said, "Doc, you know, I'm having problems with erections, and it's, I think it might be due to my cycling." So I was a little bit skeptical for that reason also. But I mean, it is certainly possible. You can think that, you know, the trauma or pressure on that area could cause damage. One of the most interesting, when I was looking through the published stuff, the most interesting thing I saw was 2,000 years old, and relating not to cycling, but to horse riding.
Yeah. That I can believe, having ridden a horse once.
This was referring to the Scythians. So the Scythians were this kind of warlike nomadic people who came out of what is now Southeast Russia, the grasslands of Southeast Russia. They had the horse and they kind of marauded and targeted the settled civilizations in the Middle East. who didn't have the horse at that stage, but the Scythians didn't have, they didn't have stirrups. So this reference, which is like 2,000 years old, is, as I read it now, the constant jolting on their horses unfits them for intercourse. The great majority of among the Scythians become impotent. This affliction affects the rich Scythians because of their riding, not the lower classes. The poor who do not ride suffer less. So I thought that's right. A very old reference to the same sort of problem. And you can see if hopping around on a horse without stirrups to take any of your weight could cause great
crossing,
damage.
I'm crossing my legs as I'm talking to you here, John. So look, I mean, if somebody came into your clinic this morning and said, you know what, I heard that report on the Pat Kenny show today, I'm a little bit worried. What would your advice be?
Having looked at all the data, it seems that really it's most relevant to men who cycle a lot, not a little. And one of the little snippets that was coming up was with cyclists are twice as likely to get erectile dysfunction problems as non-cyclists. But it was hard for me when I looked through all the papers that were being published to back that up. The one that was most interesting for me was a study on middle-aged men, because I'm a middle-aged man, in USA, Boston, and was looking at a group of about 1,500 men that are being followed up as a kind of group for, it's called a male aging study. This is guys between the age of 40 and 70. And they asked them all by questionnaires. They split them into non-cyclists, guys who don't cycle at all, moderate cyclists who cycle less than 3 hours per week, which would be like a short commute maybe to work, and guys who cycle a lot, and they saw how many of them had erectile problems. 21% of the non-cyclists did, so that's about one in five. 11%, much less, of the moderate cyclists had the same problem, and 17% of the sport cyclists. So it looked, at first glance, there was no difference at all between them, but were they comparing apples with apples? The guys who don't cycle at all are probably unfit, some of them, and maybe they might have other diseases going on, which would, you know, kind of alter things. But when they corrected for all of the variables they could possibly correct for to make sure they were comparing apples with apples, the guys who cycled moderately, less than 3 hours a week, they still came out as less likely, not more likely, to have erectile dysfunction compared to the non-cyclists. Huh. But the guys who cycled a lot, they came out after adjustment, they came out as having more problems. So it looks to me it's the guys who cycle an awful lot that may have these problems.
Okay. Is that anything to do with the Lycra shorts?
The recent publication that was saying, well, what can we do about it? Okay, there's a potential problem here. What can we do about it? And what they were suggesting was maybe different saddle designs. That's one of the big things. There's something called a noseless saddle. It looks a bit weird. There's no, instead of the narrow, you know, racing saddle, which looks sexy, it goes under the cheeks of your bum. So there's no pressure on the perineum at all. And evidence suggests that it does increase, reduce the pressure on the perineum and therefore make it less likely you're going to get problems. So the noseless saddle is one of the things this recent Polish study suggested would be a solution. And this thing about standing up makes sense also.
Get the blood flow.
Exactly, because, all of the studies, you can do these studies, this sounds a bit weird now for listeners, you can these studies, they're easy to do on transcutaneous penile oxygen pressure. You put a little monitor on the penis to measure the blood flow. Anybody who's been in hospital, you know, recently, they probably will remember having a little monitor put in their finger, which, you know, it measures the oxygen amount in your tissues. This is the same sort of principle applied to the penis. So any of the studies show that if you're doing these studies on blood flow to the penis on the guy who's sitting down and cycling, after a few minutes, you get a big drop in blood flow, like 60, 70, 80%, you know, quite a significant. But if you're cycling standing up, you don't get any drop in oxygenation at all. So cycling standing up, you know, not sitting down but standing on the stirrups, is totally safe. And that's why they're suggesting, if you're worried about this, particularly if you've noticed a little bit of numbness or maybe a little bit of problem with getting erections, and you're a cyclist, maybe every 10 minutes you stand up on the pedals and stay standing up for a few minutes, maybe 3 minutes, because the evidence suggests that standing up for 3 minutes, then the blood supply will go back to normal.
Okay.
So that would be a very sensible strategy. So the big takeaways from the study are, don't panic if you're a guy who's cycling. It's not a big effect unless you're really, really doing hundreds of miles.
Okay, John.
And cycling is very good for your health anyway.
Yeah, it's
good
for the planet.
So we shouldn't panic. We shouldn't panic. It's definitely, I would be saying, do not panic about this.
Okay.
Consider a noseless saddle. stand up on your pedals, but go on cycling.
Okay, I'm safe to cycle home to Phibsborough after the show. Then Dr. John Waterstone from the Waterstone Clinic, thanks indeed for talking to us. The listener says, Shane, there are loads of testicle-friendly saddles available. I don't know why, but I just find the idea of testicle-friendly being quite a funny concept.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Mater Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.
I'm Cindy Lauper. My psoriasis was all over, even on my scalp, which may mean four times the risk for psoriatic arthritis. But Cosentyx works on both.
Cosentyx secukinumab is prescribed for adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis 300 milligram dose and adults with active psoriatic arthritis 150 milligram dose. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for tuberculosis. An increased risk of infections and lowered ability to fight them may occur, like tuberculosis or other serious bacterial, fungal, or viral infections. Some are fatal. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if inflammatory bowel disease symptoms develop or worsen. Serious allergic reactions and severe eczema-like skin reactions may occur. Learn more at Cosentyx.com or 1-844-COSENTYX. Ask your doctor about Cosentyx.